You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Ojibwe people have a long, proud history in Michigan. A new film from brothers Adam and Zach Khalil tell the stories of the Ojibwe tribe in their hometown of Sault Ste. Marie, using the ancient Seven Fires prophecy of the Ojibwe to explore modern Anishinaabe culture and its challenges.
The fourth fire was originally given to the people by two prophets. One of the prophets said, "You will know the future of our people by what face the light-skinned race wears. If they come wearing the face of brotherhood, then there will come a time of wonderful change for generations to come. In this way, two mighty nations will join to make one."
And filmmaker Adam Khalil is here with us now. Adam, welcome to Stateside. It's so great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, since I want to do justice to the title of your film, and it's a combination of Ojibwe and English, would you say it for us?
Yeah, it's a really easy title to remember. It's a not to say. It shines a certain way to a certain place. It flies, it falls. Super easy to remember.
Yeah.
Super Googleable.
And yeah. And what do those words, is that it shines a certain way to a certain place, it flies, falls, is that what in not to say means?
That's the translation. But what it really means is a movie, which is a really original title, too. So and not to say means a movie, but there's a thinking in Anishinaabe linguistics that each syllable is actually a verb. So when you break down and not to say into the specific syllables that then become verbs, it translates into it shines a certain way to a certain place. It flies, it falls. And for me and my brother, that has two meanings. One is that's like the film apparatus or how people watch films. It shines a certain way to a certain place is the projector, the light hitting the screen, and then it flies, it falls is representative of the film going through the projector when it was film and falling out to the other side. But it also has a more personal meaning to us because it shines a certain way to a certain place is our home, Bawating or Sault Ste. Marie. And then it flies, it falls was kind of indicative of the somewhat chaotic nature in which the film came together.
And why is that? Why was it chaotic?
There's been like a long history of people coming into our communities trying to extract information or knowledge, and we're really conscious of that. Like the history of documentary, it's like one of the first recorded images ever made is Thomas Edison's Sioux Ghost Dance, where he basically bussed in Indian people to perform in front of a camera because his camera was so large it couldn't leave his studio. And then also like Nanook of the North is like ostensibly the first documentary, but really it's like a piece of branded content for a French fur company. So we were really conscious of the way people have tried to approach our community before in this way where they wanted like sound bites or clips or some kind of knowledge. And we wanted to be really conscious of not doing that or mimicking that way of making films. So we went in a very open-ended approach and did like way too many interviews and like let people talk as opposed to dictating what they said.
So basically we get a chance to meet people from the Ojibwe tribe in Sault Ste. Marie who can tell their own stories, not someone else co-opting them.
Yeah, I mean, we did edit it. So like there is definitely some authorship that we did there, but we didn't want to make it so specific or closed off. People could share what they wanted to share as opposed to dictating what we needed from them, you know?
Mm. And you use this ancient Seven Fires prophecy as a sort of frame for your film. What is that?
Our tradition is an oral tradition, which means things are allowed to change and adapt. And the Seven Fires prophecy, as I've been told and as I've read about it, it kind of predates and predicts contact with Europeans. As I know it, the prophecy happened like 2,000 years ago, basically. So we knew what was going to happen before it happened.
Mm.
But the cool thing about the Seven Fires prophecy and the oral tradition is that it's allowed to adapt to the times. There's a Western conception of history, like Walter Benjamin talking about the angel of history always moving forward but looking backwards. That's a very European way of thinking about history. But an Ojibwe way of thinking about history is that history is a narrative that should be in service of the contemporary people at a contemporary time. So it kind of gave us artistic license to play with the story as well, and it was a great structure because of that, because we could have these kind of points that we had to hit, but getting to those points, we were allowed some artistic freedom and liberty to kind of tailor the story to the contemporary moment.
And to that point, your film is very, very impressionist. You use distorted sound effects and low-resolution video and layered images and animation. Very contemporary. Were you aiming this film at a specific audience who really gets impressionist modern approach?
One of the things we were really conscious of and set out to do when we made the film was how to make an inherently Ojibwe film. If you think about cinema in terms of a national lens, which is how it's understood in terms of cinema history, there's American cinema, there's Japanese cinema, there's French cinema, et cetera. So we were trying to figure out what would an inherently Ojibwe form of cinema look like. So as opposed to like using the kind of cliches or tropes of documentary from a semi-colonial vantage point, what would our own authored story look like? So that gave us kind of carte blanche to kind of take all these different devices that we liked and not have to stick to fitting it into a specific mold. It allowed us a lot of freedom to try to tell our own tribe story in our own way.
And you've been taking your film out to audiences. What's the reaction been? What has struck you in audience reactions?
Well, it's been interesting. And maybe also to like riff on the last question also about audience is that one of the strengths of the film that I think is that we're communicating to many different audiences at the same time using the same film, right? So like, I know for a fact that like Ojibwe audiences understand more of the film, or there's things that are kind of coded into the film that maybe a general audience wouldn't get necessarily. But we were also conscious of like not wanting to hermetically seal the film and allow other people, like a general audience, to still have it be approachable. So it's like thinking about cinema not only on a horizontal line, but also a vertical sense. So you could have these different conversations kind of layered on top of each other. And that kind of led to a lot of the layering in the film, even aesthetically.
That clip that we heard at the very beginning of our conversation, Adam, about the fourth fire prophecy that two mighty nations will join to make one. Is it your hope that your film will help fulfill that kind of by enlightening your audiences and helping whites to better understand Anishinaabe culture and society?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is for as tribal people or as like indigenous people is the right to sovereignty and self-determination. And without those things, it's a really tough reality. And we've been kind of given sovereignty, but it's kind of like a kid version of sovereignty. Like we're not actually considered a nation state, which makes it really hard to self-determine or dictate what our own peoples do or have done, you know? Mm. It's a kind of paternalistic sovereignty that's, here, you can have a government, sure, but, like, don't get out of line. And that doesn't really work, you know, and has led to a lot of problems in our community and other tribal communities as well.
Now, how can people see your film, Inatase?
So, yeah, I've been touring it around for the past 5 weeks, and we'll be I'm going down to Minneapolis and St. Paul and going to show it all around Minnesota over the next 2 weeks. But, yeah, on our website, there's ways to access the film if you contact us.
We have put the link up for their website for you at the michiganradio.org site at the stateside page so you can access it and find out more. What future plans do you have? So you've got this is your first feature-length film. What's ahead for you and your brother, Zach?
So we just received two grants, one from PBS and one from Sundance, to work on two new projects. And I'm actually in Thunder Bay, Ontario, right now doing research for the feature film that's being supported by Sundance, which is going to be a biopic, a narrative biopic about the Ojibwe painter Norvel Morisseau, who for us is kind of like one of the main reasons we're making artwork. He was wildly successful in the 60s and 70s and was basically the first indigenous person to be exhibited as a contemporary artist and not inside of a museum as like as cultural objects, but actually art. And he painted these huge, huge canvases with really psychedelic colors, kind of taking the traditional stories but updating them into a contemporary form. And he also had a really crazy life.
So you've got a lot to work with this new film.
Oh, yeah. No, he's an amazing figure and very complicated. And there's a lot of paradoxes throughout his life, and there's a lot to chew on there. Thunder Bay was always a home base for him, so we're here now kind of doing research, meeting people who knew him, meeting with his family, making sure we're doing this in the right way, because it's a loaded story, and we want to make sure we're doing it right.
Filmmaker Adam Khalil, he and his brother Zach are out with their first feature-length film, Inatase. It shines a certain way to a certain place. It flies, it falls. And you can get information by going to their website, and the link is up for you at the stateside page at michiganradio.org. Good luck with the film, and especially with your upcoming project, Adam. It was great to talk with you.
Thanks so much for having me. Chi miigwech.